Kings of Anglia podcast, take two. Hello, friends. We're back again. We've been back for the last 20 minutes, spitting absolute liquid gold on the airwaves. Unfortunately, none of it recorded, so you have to take my word for it. My name's Mark Keith. I'm back for the second time today with the boys. We're not going to bother with intros because we've already done those. Stewie Watson, Hutchie Hogan, Andy Warren, best producer in the world. Best producer in the world, Ross Halls, who's just turned the air blue and said none of it's recording. So there you go. So, boys.
It's okay. We can bring the same energy to this.
It's so good to see you again. Let's go back to what we just discussed, shall we? Go over that was rehearsal. We'll treat it as rehearsal. You boys have just come back from Germany. Ipswich Town missed out on qualifying for the Europa League by finishing fourth in the Interwetten Cup. But more importantly, you had one crazy day on Friday, starting when you got up very early. Ross amazingly managed to get out of bed, I'm assuming. You didn't have to drag him out.
No,
I picked him up at 4:45. He was there.
It was his birthday. Did you get cake before you went?
Thursday night with my missus.
You had cake on Thursday night. That's nice. Yeah. Lovely. Yeah. Are we recording, Ross?
Yes, we are.
Good, because I don't want to put too much energy into this.
I'm not
going to look at you guys. I'm just going to look at that the whole show.
Right, here we go. So we've got less than an hour to get all this in. Boys, on Friday, once you'd got back to Bremen Airport, your manor, as it were.
Our manor. We left Ipswich at 5, mm-hmm. at Stanford for 6.
Flight at 8. Land at 10:15. Job done.
Super.
Nailed Bremen now, second weekend in a row, straight to the car desk.
Same car as last week.
Yeah,
off we go.
The woman wasn't going to be bullying us into any upgrades this time.
Did she recognise
you? We knew straight
different.
Over.
She wasn't there, thankfully.
Okay. Yeah.
Straight over to the multi-story, in the car, same car. Our faithful Sayer Arona, off we go. 2 hours to the training ground. We rock up there 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Bosh. Romantic hotel. Then you have the red carpet pretty much rolled out for you in an unexpected turn of events. Stuart, you've been doing this for years. I think I'm right in saying you've never had access like this on a pre-season trip.
Yeah, I think this will be my 10th season covering Ipswich.
Started when you were 16.
never been welcomed as nicely as that before. I've had incidents going back to Holland with Paul Jewell, his first summer. Basically got frog marched away from the training pitch. They didn't want me looking at training. They wanted to limit my amount of time there as possible. Ireland with Mick, I'd get some years I'd get a few interviews, some not, depending on the vibe. But this year, they were very keen to be as hospitable as possible, and we Andy and I came away with about 6 or 7 interviews in the bag. They invited us to stay for dinner afterwards, and we even got to play in the staff game, which was surreal.
Now, obviously, we've just been talking about this for about 10 minutes, but none of you will hear that, so let's go through it again. You two, three of you actually, were requested to play in the staff game post-training, kitted out in Ipswich Town kit. Obviously, you had your own boots. Someone forgot their boots.
Yeah.
Who could that have been?
Yeah, and that was me.
As a result, was furnished with Tristan Nydam's boots.
Yeah, he just said, "What size are you?" I was to have Andre Lazelle's boots, but he decided to run off somewhere. And Tristan asked, "What size are you?" I went, "Oh, I'm 8.5." He went, "Oh, take mine." Yeah, put them on for me and all that jazz.
He put them on for you.
He should have done.
Do you want me to do your laces, Ross?
So you were then pitched against each other though, on opposite sides of the pitch.
Yep.
Ross and Hutchie, you were on one side. Trinity. Stewie, you were on the other. With, by the sound of it, Hutchie, you were complaining there was inadequate or in unfair distribution.
Teams were unfair. We each had a goalkeeper on our team. We had Jimmy Walker, the goalkeeping coach. Stu's team had James Pullen, but our goalkeeper played up front.
Nice. Jimmy Walker's a character, isn't he, as well?
Yep, very nice man.
Absolutely.
Character. All goalkeepers are characters, and so is their coach.
So who won?
Our team won. I think it might have been 7-1. It was a pity penalty that was your consolation goal.
I think it might have been 7-1, yeah.
It might have been 8, actually.
Count, but yeah. It was a half-an-hour game. About 2/3 size pitch, full-size goals, 7 or 8 aside, can't remember. But you had Mr. Lambert on your team, didn't you? Former Champions League winner.
Yep.
Didn't get himself that involved in the game.
No, he played quarterback, left back, hanging about at the back. He's still got it. His touch and his range of passing. Apparently in training, he just zipping the balls about all the time, but I don't think he was that keen to be stretched in front of his players.
Did he get stuck in? Did he chuck in any reducers on anyone?
Him and Stuart Taylor had a little wrestle to the ground, a playful sort of moment between those two, but I don't, in general, no one was going in too hard. It's not the done thing, is it?
Yeah. Stuart and I, we had a little coming together, didn't we? A little niggle, and you could hear some of the players who were all watching in the background go, "Oh, a bit of needle, bit of needle."
This was the best thing about it, is that, so the players had just finished their afternoon session, and then they went, right, a staff game now, and of course they all pulled up chairs to the sideline and sat in a long row all the way along the pitch and were absolutely loving it, you know, chucking out a lot of abuse.
I bet you were getting dogs, yeah.
Yeah, Andy and I were obviously sort of firm targets, shouts of things about player ratings. Both Andy and I completely shanked shots over the bar. I think your one came a bit off the shin, didn't it, which led to some shouts.
I don't know, that was, the shin was trying to pluck a ball out of the sky.
How was it?
Didn't work.
We had Shinji Kajua.
Shin Fein!
Amazing.
Yeah, Chambers and Freddie Sears were kind of the playing the lead role in some of this. And
Colin Skews grabbed a camera, took some quite good pictures,
yeah,
I think.
He might have Ross out of a job.
Yeah, your mum probably, yeah.
Can he produce podcasts?
Probably too.
can he press record? And you also had another distraction, watching on. Certain one-eyed monster from one of town's new signings, sitting there watching you.
Yeah,
yeah. We saw quite a lot of James Norwood on the first day that we met him.
Yeah.
Within the first hour we'd met him, Andy interviewed him immediately. He's a guy that puts himself out there in every sense of the word. So on social media, everything about the hair transplant, he's fallen off of his bike on Instagram by the Sunday night. But anyway, by the time we start to play this staff game, we've already seen him messing around with the cherry picker crane, which the analyst is in, taking the keys out, spinning that around. Off he trots to the hotel, back he comes, he's got... The chef is now playing in the staff game, scored twice, Adam, nice guy from our chats with him. But James has put on his apron, and that is it. Nothing on underneath. So
when you sit on a chair when you're wearing an apron, things spread.
Mm.
So every time you turn to that side of the pitch, you saw little James.
Little James,
just
yes.
Sitting there.
So that's James Norwood. That paints you a picture of he is. Honestly, we were there for a matter of hours at the training base, and he is front and centre of everything, you know. You would think he was the player that's been there for years. Like, yeah. He's got the lads in stitches, he's the loudest character there. And I think they needed another little personality. I sat down with Luke Chambers for a chat, and I said to him, James looks like he's settled quickly, and he said, it's great for me, because I think he feels the burden to be the leader, the voice, the front and centre of things, and it's quite a youngish camp. There's not huge personalities in that squad, so we'll probably get on to how he played in a minute, but in terms of his off-field qualities, I think he's certainly added a boost there.
And you mentioned Skusi grabbing the camera and taking pictures. Chambers fancied to go as well. He grabbed Roscoe's camera and took it upon himself to conduct a post-match interview with you two.
It's quite fortunate he picked up Ross's camera. He didn't know that was Ross's camera. It just happened to be the one that was picked up, which is quite good for us.
Yeah, he did instigate that. We didn't ask him to do it. I think he quite fancied the boot being on the other foot.
Yeah. If you've not seen it, go to the social media now, Kings of Anglia, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and YouTube.
It's
all over
everywhere.
We are worldwide. Boys, were you standing in a hole in that interview, by the way? As Chambers, like,
you
know, 6'7".
You do know that I'm very short.
I know you're very short,
like,
but I didn't think Chambers was that tall. You look like two kind of boys on your first day of school.
Yeah, there is an element of perspective there. I mean, he is tall, taller than us, but probably not.
You know what it reminded me of? You know when you back at when you start big school and you finally get that invite to play in the game with the kind of sixth formers. That's what it looked like post game with you two being interviewed by. Oh, thank you, Mr. Chambers. Yeah, it's lovely. And then after this tremendous performance, Roscoe obviously ran around a lot from what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Lots of energy. Showed energy, which is not something we see a lot of. You went and sat down for a meal with the boys. Well, I say with the boys, with the teachers, really.
Yeah, we were on the staff table.
Yeah, with Lambo.
Yep, Paul Lambert, Stuart Taylor, Matt Gill, Jimmy Walker, Jim Henry.
Even the chef itself.
Yeah, yep, Chef Adam, and then us, still wearing our training kit.
Nice, and you're eating. Dinner. You're eating. You say there was a lovely red pepper soup. Oh, what was on main courses?
Very, very nice. There was a few options. There was a Malaysian beef curry. There was a fish lasagna. There was some chicken.
Yeah, some all the salads bread randomly. Out yeah, of the mains.
Yeah,
it's not as I think they've been putting the running in. Jim Henry was saying that since they've come back from the first day of training, they've done 100 kilometres on average per player running in the legs. So I think they're allowed to kind of, within reason, fill their boots in terms of eating.
Stu just winked at me. Do you want to see that again?
Did I?
Yeah.
He does that a lot. He does that all the time.
Yeah.
That's not a wink.
It is.
It's a twitch.
Did you see it? Did you see it? He winks yeah. with his left
I didn't
eye.
See it then, but...
he does it, doesn't he?
The Watson wink. The Watson wink is a thing.
It makes me feel good, though. Like,
just after being brought into his sentence, he's like...
Shh. Yeah, like, that was a good sentence, have some of that. Yeah. I love it. And what was Lambo like as a dining companion? The people listening to this podcast, I'm imagining, won't really ever have a chance to sit down with Paul Lambert and eat dinner. So what was he like? I assume he's talking about the kind of big politics of the day, big ideas.
We didn't get into Brexit, did
no.
we?
No.
But
no, not like with Jürgen the previous week, our Airbnb host.
That's true.
He asked about the newspaper, the state of the newspaper industry, how the transition into the online world is going.
Yeah.
Yeah, the usual sort of small talk that you have if you go, say you went out with your wife or your partner to one of her friend's weddings or something, and you get stuck on a table where you don't really know anyone.
That
and
sucks, doesn't it?
You make small talk. It was nice small talk about what we do and a few little things behind the scenes. He also wanted to know where we were going out that night, making sure that we were living up to our profession.
Heavy drinking.
We ended up going to the sports bar. It was about 2 miles up the road. So if you followed Grant Pringle, the club media man's excellent coverage over the week, he'd been churning out loads of videos, but there was no Wi-Fi at this place. Well, there was, but it was very patchy. So Grant was cycling 2 miles up the road to this random sports bar in the middle of nowhere,
the Leola Sports Bar in Herzlacher.
And it was like a proper nice sort of American style sports bar. Ooh. with a pool table and dirt cheap beers.
Mars bars, you know.
Ross ate 2 Mars bars and a Twix in one sitting.
What?
It's hungry.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Just you wait, my friend, until metabolism catches up with you.
So you could just take the bikes. Like, they had bikes that were just free to use at the hotel. So along with Grant, we just sort of took a couple of these bikes. There were electric options. We didn't take those.
Yeah.
And off we cycled to this sports bar and had a few beers. Played a bit of pool and had our laptops out and did a bit of work. It was good fun.
Was this Roscoe's birthday celebration? Because there was big talk last week about crossing the border and heading into Holland, Amsterdam.
Mm. That was cut short because of our car hire agreement.
Yeah.
Would not, and also we had been up since 4 a.m. and were knackered.
So it was Ross's birthday.
I was up for it, but Ross was wilting big time. And he
shame
was
on you.
Everybody know as well.
You're the youngest here by 10 years.
Ross suffers from fatigue. When it gets him, he's very up and down, Ross, isn't he? When he's up, he's really up. But when fatigue bites,
do you know what it is? Because his diet is mostly sugar. So he crashes and burns once he gets
there. My biggest present was, you know, the meal with Lambert. Now I think that is, you know, that was the...
We mentioned that, yeah, so I said to Ross when we got back this night, I said, you know, you must be buzzing. You'll never have a birthday. You never must have thought that you were going to have a 23rd birthday where, you know, you've grown up an Ipswich Town fan and you've got to play football with the manager and watched by all the players. He said, yeah, it's all right, but it would have been better if the players had been involved. I don't know if he was expecting a 10-minute cameo against Dusseldorf on Sunday.
He's slagging off their penalty. He could have taken a penalty, couldn't he? Or were you slagging off the penalties on this recording, or was that on the last?
That was on the last one.
On the last one.
Yeah, because
I turned down getting The ball hit to my arse.
Have we said that on this one?
No, you should just explain that.
So he was Stuart Taylor, the assistant manager, quietly said to Andy, I and Ross, once he knew it was his birthday, well, there's a tradition here, when it's someone's birthday, they stand on the goal line, face backwards, drop trowel, everyone takes a penno at your backside. Like we used to call it bear arse when we were kids, play heads and volleys, and that was the punishment for the loser. Ross Umdenard, he said, you don't have to do it. I won't make a big thing of it if you don't want to. Andy and I gave a bit of encouragement, but in the end, Ross bottled it.
Yeah, I regret it, to be fair.
You'll never have another chance for Cole Skuse to leather your arse with a ball.
But this is where I then say they would have probably missed, because they didn't do really well with the penalty shootout, did they? So
young Ross has spent two weekends away working in Germany. He's come back very bold indeed. Very bold. Very bold.
I think they'll agree with me too. So.
Wasn't so bold when ordering off of menus.
Can you do it, please?
The panic set in when there wasn't an English menu option.
We went to a Greek, was it a Greek kind of steakhouse place in Meppen on the Saturday night? And Ross was very close to ordering off the children's menu because he could understand what was on there.
The children's menu options were like the Spider-Man, the SpongeBob SquarePants.
That's Ross's vibe.
Yeah. But to be fair, the one I picked was actually a good option because it was just all the meats.
Yeah, you made a good choice.
Yeah, step from the liver. I didn't like liver.
No one likes liver.
No, that's not
it's
nice.
Awful.
You didn't realise it was liver till you were halfway through it, did you?
Yes, this is liver.
It's just a really flat steak. Smooth steak.
I say again, liver is awful.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, dear, oh dear. These are people I'm working with.
Ross is gone.
As well as crashing and burning and fatigue Ross suffers with, he was also suffering with something else, wasn't he?
A new illness has come to light.
Ross's illness of the week was...
Well,
I'm not going to say it.
I think, Ross missed being with his girlfriend. He did proclaim at one stage that he was horny, which was slightly... disturbing, seeing as I didn't have a door on my bedroom at the place that we were at. I was up in the loft.
Yeah.
So that was a concern.
At no point you woke up with Ross making sweet love to your leg.
No, but I could imagine that's his vibe, like a little puppy. Yeah. You go to shake him off.
A look of grim determination on his face.
I wasn't that desperate.
Not that deplorable.
Silly boy. Unbelievable. Boys, anything else to mention before we get onto the football? Or what you're actually out there to watch?
The farmhouse was nice.
Oh, the farmhouse. Yeah, Cribs.
Yeah.
Farmhouse Cribs was nice. Again.
How long did it take to organise that? Because I was marvelling as I watched it with Stu, the coordination of... So you see one person on screen, Stewie... Actually, it was Hutchie, wasn't it, first, in bed. And then next thing, Stewie's in the kitchen. And then suddenly Hutchie's appearing elsewhere. So you must have been running behind Ross as that happened.
We're not going to reveal the secrets. That's filming technique, that
I liked it. Go back and watch it if you've not. Someone's phone's going off.
Ross, it's fine. Ignore it.
Is the podcast recording?
Yes, 18 minutes in so far.
18 minutes of gold. Yeah. Boys, Inter Western Cup, Sunday, Ipswich Town, came bottom.
Yeah, they finished fourth. I prefer to say they finished fourth.
Out of four, yeah.
They should have finished third, but for those said missed penalties... three penalties saved. They weren't misses, they were saves. They weren't blazed over the bar or anything. The keepers guessed the right way. A couple of them were a reasonable height for him. But they drew that game 0-0 when they dominated it. Tale of two games, really. Outclassed by Dusseldorf, understandably so. They're a mid-table Bundesliga side.
4-1 in one half, though. That's not great, is it?
No, it's not. And... although there is that gap in quality between the sides, Ipswich didn't help themselves, and it was a little bit of a reminder of some of the flaws of last season in terms of shooting themselves in the foot. And I think the players and Paul Lambert would say that as well. One's obviously a glaring individual error by Bart. He's just let a routine shot sort of squirm through his hands at the near post. They were getting away with... It was a young side. I mean, if you look at that first half team, there really isn't, beyond Skuse, there wasn't a whole lot of senior experience in there. Hughes, obviously, and Lancaster as well. There's a caveat that they're both coming back from injuries. Skuz ends up playing centre half because Toto does his hamstring clearing the ball, so that meant a major reshuffle. But it's an inexperienced side, and as Lambert keeps telling everyone, they're going to be learning, and that there's going to be, you know, that there is going to be a little bit of this going forwards. But they didn't help themselves, did they, Andy?
No, and they weren't happy about it either. It was a 45-minute game, which isn't a very long game, but they still came off as if they'd played a big, long pre-season game, and they were really not happy with how it went. You could see it on their faces and what they were saying afterwards. It was not good.
Okay.
But with the caveats that we've mentioned.
I mean, their winger, who...
Tech Pity.
Pity.
Yeah. He's a Ghanaian international, lightning quick.
Yeah.
You know, they've just signed him this summer. He gave them all manner of problems. You could go through that team. They had a USA international. They had several... Germans capped at under 21 level. Mm. It's a good team. But
so let's look at the positives then. Who impressed? Obviously, young Lord Norwood.
That was the positive of the first game for me.
Took 4 minutes to open his Ipswich Town account.
Yeah.
How did he look?
He looked what I thought he was going to be. He was a kind of a needs must finish, which is a lot of what his goals are. That they're not always the prettiest of goals, but he does what he needs to do to put the ball in the net, which is all that matters. And then he spent the rest of the 45 minutes kind of hustling around. He's a hustler, isn't he? He doesn't give defenders any rest. And then a couple of good little runs as well, that he sort of took the ball forward and ran into the corner. Didn't maybe get the support that he needed from the midfield, but, you know, very promising for a first 45 minutes.
How's his hairline looking?
He's shaved it all. It's all been shaved off now. Completely shaved off.
So he's had a hair transplant and he's shaved his head.
I think you have to,
that's
don't
the
you?
Process. Oh, is that the, that's what you do. Then, yeah. But no, Joe Garner comparisons there. Think Joe Garner if you've not seen him yet. He's spiky. He's on at the ref the whole time. He felt that somebody laid an elbow on him in the early stages and then did not let that lie for the next 45. He shoved an opponent squarely in the chest, not once but twice. To think Joe Garner, and I think Ipswich have probably lacked, as much as they've lacked, we talked about his personality off the pitch, I think they've maybe lacked a little bit of that sort of competitive edge on it as well. So again, that's another box ticked.
Mm-hmm. A bit more ability on the ball than Joe Garner as well.
Any other highlights, players that impressed you, that we can take positives from?
First game, there's not a lot more to dwell on. The second game was far better. They played on the front foot. It was a third tier side versus a third tier side, and Ipswich were the better team. I don't think defensively they were troubled at all. I can't think of any major chances for Meppen. Caden Jackson's gone round the goalkeeper twice, and then hit the post from an acute angle. Another one, I think, the goalkeeper or defender recovered to make the block. Jordan Roberts, I've quite liked him in pre-season thus far. Really sort of put himself about. He played wide left on this occasion, but physically he gives you a bit of an out ball if you want to play a diagonal. He hustled and bustled and looked quite lively, had a chance in that game.
Same with Danny Rowe, I think. I quite like what I've seen of Danny Rowe in his two 45 minutes that he's had this season. Same. He links up quite well with Caden Jackson. Those two are clearly on a similar wavelength. And playing on the right, on his left foot, cutting inside, some decent stuff from him.
Ken Locke, left back, I thought had a decent game. Got forward quite well on the overlap. Obviously, just signed his new contract. And Corian Darber, I have to say, I mean, Ipswich might have a bit of a shortage of centre-backs, certainly for the opening day, because Chambers is suspended at Burton, and we don't know how long Toto's going to be out for with this hamstring injury. So suddenly Wolfenden and Indaba come to the fore, and I thought Corey in particular in that second game looked just nice and assured. He's calm on the ball, he brings a bit of left footed balance. I was quite encouraged by him.
Now then, obviously from positives we have to move to negatives, and we've got to talk injuries, because there are a couple out there. Are we sure of the severity yet? Old T-Bish, T-Bags, Teddy Bishop.
Let's go with Teddy Bishop.
T-Bag, yep. Yeah, so he went down injured. Lad's made of crisps. What's going on? Do we know the latest on that yet?
It's not as bad as was. You know, if you see someone like that, the fear is that it's a cruciate knee ligament. 9 months, 8 months, 9 months out. It's not that bad, but months.
It's not good.
A couple of months at least on the sidelines, I think.
Yeah, from what we gather, I think his hope at the time was that it was medial rather than anterior cruciate, which is, as Andy says, weeks rather than months, depending on the grade. But it's just another him, you know, you were hoping that he'd got beyond that because he was playing regularly, he was playing back-to-back games, 90 minutes. I thought he was just at that point in the game. I'd just sort of, I think I'd tweeted to say, he looks like he's got a little bit of extra speed in him here now, and he's like, you know, could be taking his game back to a new level this year, and then that happens in... First gutted. And foremost, you've got to be gutted for him.
Mm. Absolutely, yeah. And also Big Totes got injured as well, didn't he?
Mm. That was just a routine clearance, no one around him, just hoiked the ball forwards and immediately clutched the back of his right hamstring, and the bench were sort of frantically saying, are you all right, And he wasn't making a huge amount. It's one of those where he probably knew he wasn't all right, but wanted to give himself a couple of minutes, didn't make a huge amount of eye contact with the bench, sort of a little sort of subdued thumbs up in their direction. He played on. Fortuna scored in that little period where he stayed on the pitch. That was a rapid counter-attack goal. And then he came off straight away after that. Again, we don't know the severity of that one at the moment, whether it's a tear, whether it's a pull. We're still waiting for word on that. I think people always wonder, why don't the club let us know sooner on these? There is definitely there is a theory of thought that sometimes that they let players get their head around injuries first before they make them public. They want them to be able to kind of get their head around how long they're going to be out and their recovery process before the world and their wife are sort of discussing the situation, which I can see a bit of the logic in that.
That is going for Teddy, though, isn't it? Is it his final year?
No, he signed a new contract last year, so he's got 2 years left. But yeah, really, that actually it got me quite down, that did, because he deserves a bit of luck. Like Stu said, he'd been playing well, he'd played well in that game, and it was just so innocuous how it happened. It's really sad because he's got so much ability. You just really hope he can have a good recovery and a chance to show it.
What's his history of injuries? Has he done these before? Is that first knee?
A bit of everything, to be honest. I don't know if there has been a knee one to be honest.
Hamstring
was the big one, the last one.
Yeah.
But
okay.
All manner of things, mainly muscle injuries, I think, until this point.
That's maybe a bit more positive. He's not done a knee before. At least he's not got a pre-existing injury there. Anything else to mention before we move on to the sexy stuff? Bearing in mind that we've now got 25 minutes to cram all the rest of the show in.
No, I think that's about it, really, for the Germany weekend. It's they've played two good Bundesliga sides so far in Paderborn and Dusseldorf, and they played okay in the Meppen game. So
I don't think we need to be
putting too much stock in those games thus far.
Okay, excellent, sexy stuff, Hutchie. This is your time to shine. You are the doctor when it comes to transfer rumours. You're killing it in the ring, like Hutch Hogan. Talk us through a couple of things which you put online yesterday. First of all, the Adam Thompson link. Bury defender.
Yep. Northern Ireland international defender. We know they've watched Bury this last season because of the Danny Mayer stuff, but they were watching him as well. They've checked in on him a few times over the summer.
Central defender?
Central defender. Has played right back earlier in his career, but he's a central defender. He played 54 games for Bury as a centre-back last year. He's likely to become a free agent in the next few days. I think he's... Because we all know Bury's financial issues, and he's going to be... because of those, he's able to terminate his contract. That's going to happen. He'll be a free agent. And there are lots of clubs interested, but Ipswich are one of them.
Okay.
And it links to this area?
Kind of. He's from Harlow originally, so, yeah.
Close enough.
Kind of the south-east.
Yeah.
The south-east is fine.
And they've also got another defender training with them as we speak. A lad from Lincoln, am I right?
Formerly of Lincoln.
Yep.
Sorry.
He terminated his own contract earlier this summer. He had a year to run on that. That's James Wilson. He's a one-cap Wales international. Wasn't so involved for Lincoln last year. I think he broke his ankle at the end of the previous season, at which point Lincoln went out and signed Sean Raggett, and they got Michael Boswick as well, and he just couldn't get past them. They were a winning team. They will end up winning the league. in League Two. And he couldn't get a look in there and terminated his contract.
Okay. So time will tell, I guess.
Yeah, he's just training at the moment. That's not uncommon at this time of the year, is it? It was, had Kane Vincent Young last year, didn't we? Go on the Spain trip and played in that friendly with Kilmarnock, and he could well end up playing in the Colchester game on Friday night.
They are probably, especially with the injury now, definitely looking like they're probably one versatile senior defender light.
Yep.
Is that fair to say? I think so.
Good. And there's also another rumour outgoing that won't go away. Judgy lad. It's QPR. Did I see something over the weekend? QPR reported to have made a bid, a derisory bid, of $250,000. Where are we with this? What can we say?
I don't think it's going to go away until QPR sign a player to replace Luke Freeman. And because we know why Mark Warburton wants him. They were together at Brentford. They both did well together.
There's a lot of things that make this potentially viable. The fact that, you know, Alan's got a young family and the kids are in school and he's been in West London for so long, so he can stay in the same area. He can play under the manager that's got the best out of him in his career. You know, he made a big deal about, he left Brentford because he was fed up of playing on the wing, and he's come to Ipswich and he's ended up playing on the wing quite a lot thus far. Warburton will probably be saying, you get the Freeman role, you get the number 10 role. But I don't get the feeling that he'll be really sort of agitating for this. He seems to have settled in Suffolk. He was very quick to sign that contract. I mean, that was a surprise that Ipswich got that done as sorted as quickly as possible, because I would have thought Alan Judge would have kept his options open as long as possible into the summer to see if a scenario like the QPR one had come up. But he didn't, because I think he was just keen to get everything sorted and he was enjoying his time in Ipswich. So we'll see how that pans out. As far as we're concerned, that the release clause, the buyout clause, was in the previous contract, not the current one. For me, it would just send out all the wrong messages if Ipswich were to cash in on him now. It would have to be silly money. You know, it's miles beyond $250,000, and I don't even know what figure would make that worthwhile.
I wouldn't know where, because you can't replace, you certainly can't replace Alan Judge for £250,000, and I don't know what, like you say, what figure?
You're talking
what's
millions,
the magic
surely.
Number?
You're talking millions. It's got to be, hasn't it? To part with him?
I think you've got to be looking at seven figures and a decent seven-figure fee at that. Because otherwise, what message are you sending out to the fans that we've signed this guy to be the centrepiece of our side in League One, and before he's even kicked a ball at that level, we're selling him? And as Andy says, you can't. It's not as easy as just going out and spending that money at this stage. So, I'd be both surprised and extremely disappointed if that were to happen.
We should also, of course, mention, since we last done this, Tanner had really signed a player. Luke Garbutt came in, left back, left winger, incredible left foot, according to Lambeau. What can we say about Luke Garbutt? We didn't see him over the weekend. We thought we might do. So it's looking like he'll play at Colchester on Friday, obviously one of his former clubs.
Yeah, same situation as Norwood the previous weekend. He'd only joined up with his teammates 48 hours prior and had barely trained with them, so that's why they didn't put him into the game straight away. I saw a fair bit of him play for Everton when he first made his breakthrough. They used him quite a lot in the Europa League when they qualified. It was the year Ipswich were finishing sixth in the Championship. He was seen very much as the long-term successor to Leighton Baines at that stage. They handed him a five-year contract. Premier League clubs tend to do that with younger players because they're protecting their asset and making sure they get, you know, top money for them if they don't make it. But his career has stagnated a little bit since then. He's had sort of loan deals that have progressively not been as productive as he would have liked. Fulham, then Wigan, didn't play a huge amount there, and then finds himself at Oxford in League One last year, and come November time was badly out of form, dropped, not in the side, but he got back in the team at left wing, played some really good football, and that's what the basis that Ipswich Town have signed him on. So, you know, he's in his last year at Everton now. This is kind of a bit of a make or break crossroads moment for him now. Lambert said there's a lot of water that needs to go under the bridge if we are to sign him permanently. But hopefully, you know, they've found a good match between player and club there.
I was talking, I know it was a long time ago, but Carl Marston obviously covered Colchester United for us for many years, saw him play a lot when he was on loan at Colchester, and he was extremely high on him as a player. Said he's got an excellent left foot, gets his attacking threat, really good set piece and crossing the ball, very good. So it does sound quite positive, and as you say, you can see if it does work out for him there, there's scope for to sign permanently.
It's all about feeding this. I think this whole Ipswich team is going to be set up to feed James Norwood. That's how the whole team is going to be set up. He's been brought in to score those goals, and he's also the kind of player that needs an assist. And if a good left foot, either from left back or left midfield, can put that ball into the box, then he'll finish it. Yeah.
I think they've signed him as two players in one. They need some competition for Miles Kenlock, but I think Miles Kenlock has done more than enough to nail down that starting spot. So it was always going to be hard to go out and sign someone as an obvious backup left back. So in Garbutt, you've got someone that can compete for the left wing spot, but also act as backup to Kenlock if you need him there as well. Not the quickest, but loads of stamina, and as we've alluded to lots of times, his big strength is his technical ability, that left foot, both dead balls and open play. Hopefully he can provide the ammunition.
Has he got a wand of a left foot?
Yeah, contractually obliged to say that. No one ever says wand of a right foot.
Is it cultured?
Yes, cultured left foot. Yeah.
Excellent.
Sounds good to me. Right then, boys, we've got 15 minutes to race through mailbag. So we're literally going to need to take one at a time and just fire through them, because we've got lots. Obviously, we're not going to get through all of them, but let's do as many as we can.
We're going to skip the theme tune as well. Go.
What?
Yeah, we're skipping it. Let's go.
Alistair Rattray will be disgusted. First of all, Nigel Gooding, have Andy or Stu ever got lost on the way to an away match? Are you worried about finding any of the new grounds? And as celebrities, must your arrival time be low profile to avoid the hordes of fans awaiting you? I assume they automatically avoid Ross because of his weak immune system.
We use him as the human shield.
Yeah.
So have you ever got lost, first of all?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, we've had
minor detours.
Minor detours. Sometimes when the roads are shut and then we have to go rogue, and then that's when I get Google Maps out. And we've been touch and go, but we've never missed the start of a game yet. And the one at Brighton, were you? I don't think you were there. The one at Brighton, we tried to sort of avoid the main road there and ended up going down basically some fairly dodgy dirt tracks and hit some gates and had to reverse about 3 miles down a dirt track. That was probably the worst.
And that's the best one. The pin.
We're not doing any of that today.
We're not doing any theme tunes.
Canned it.
This is an outrage.
Time is money.
Sorry, the pin.
He's a friend of the show.
Following on from the cricket. Boring. What has been the greatest ending climax to any Ipswich Town football match
you've
ever covered?
Boring.
Huh?
That was boring.
It's cricket, mate. Sport for posh.
We watched that in McDonald's in Meppen on my phone. It was brilliant.
What they should do away with the whole game and just do the Super Over and set the ball on fire.
I disagree.
Cricket's not a proper sport.
The Germans in that McDonald's were probably a bit bemused why we were jumping around a little bit.
Anyway, the pin wants to know, obviously a fan of the cricket, each their own, the pin and Hutchie by the sound.
I'm going to call him the pessimist.
No. He says, what's the greatest ending / climax to any town football match you've covered?
Greatest climax? I didn't do the Chicago 4-3 game. But
there were a few in the Mick McCarthy playoff season, weren't there? Noel Hunt and Richard Chaplow and all that?
Yeah, Chaplow game probably, yeah.
Yeah, I know Ross would say that. That's one of your favourite memories, isn't it? Mm. And the pin just adds, by the way, we're still in turmoil. Good. Sam Gordon asked about Teddy Bishop. We've talked about that. Forky isn't trash. What's the sexiest and least sexy male and female names? Sexiest, I've got to go anything kind of European.
Andy. Sure,
disagree, my friend. Disagree.
What, least sexiest?
Most.
Most sexy.
Most sexiest.
Andy or Andrew. It's got to be European, hasn't it? Particularly.
Such as?
Well, you know, like Pietro or someone like that.
Okay.
And female.
English names just don't really cut the mustard. Mark. Andy.
What?
Stuart.
I've got to say, and I think this is someone's dad's name, but Colin isn't a...
That's my old man's name.
That's not a very sexy name.
He hates his name.
Clive.
Well.
Clive is probably the least. Yeah. Clive.
You don't ever see any underwear models called Clive, do you?
Or Keith.
What's the sexiest, then, for you?
On the spot, I can't think of...
You want something exotic sounding, though, don't you? Bit of mystery.
That is true.
Jack Barham asked about Adam Thompson, we talked about that. Charlie Baxter talks about Bishop. He says, also, if you could repeat your Germany Cribs video, but with a member of ITFC playing or non-playing staff, who would you choose? Who would you like to live with for 3 days?
I'd like to do Luke Chambers' annex, just to see what state the
that would be. Yeah, young that would be a great feature. You know, yeah. You go and live in there for a week.
I don't know about live there. I'm not sure I'd want to spend the night. Would they?
Ross Wishart, I believe it's pronounced, I appreciate the level of opposition. However, some footage appears to highlight the now usual defensive frailties and lack of attacking opportunity generated. Is that remedied via recruitment, coaching, or both? And perhaps Friday's test, match against Cole, will be a better litmus test. Would you agree with that?
I'd agree with the last bit, definitely. These three games now, Colchester, Notts County, Cambridge, that's where you judge Ipswich Town's pre-season for me, because you're going to start seeing players given longer than 45 minutes. You're going to start to see preferred combinations used. Not reading too much into defensive. If you're talking defensive frailties, that in these two German friendlies, you've got Nciala and Wolfenden playing together, who had barely met each other, because Wolfenden went out on loan to Swindon within weeks of Toto arriving. So it's all very new. The combination, you've got Tristan Nyden playing left back in some of these defences. Two right backs who were both out on loan during this last season. It's all mix and match.
And bearing in mind that you've got Edwards, Judge, and Nolan to come back as well, who will probably be regular starters in there. So, but there will be an element of you asking whether it's recruitment or coaching. I think probably the bigger focus will be on coaching now. There may be one or two more in, but Lambert has now got to get this young team sort of really moulded the way he wants them playing, and there might be a few bumps in the road with that.
Ross also asks, what has Ross done with all the job offers from Greek restaurants following his unstealth-like approach to dish handling in Germany? Been flooded with offers, Ross, to...
We ate in a Greek restaurant, didn't we?
Clean some dirty dishes.
He didn't come away with an employment offer.
No.
Danish Dewdrop, Bolton, thoughts on the current turmoil there? Does this affect town, and is that a warning to teams outside the Premiership? Will they even be playing this season?
I don't know how well placed I am to talk about the financial issues at Bolton, but it's not great, is it?
Bury, Notts County. Yeah.
Bolton and Bury are both starting with a 12-point deduction, aren't they? Is that right?
Yeah.
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 In League One,
minimum. I don't know if there'll be more to come.
Bolton have still got another. What, I think they've got something else to come due to not fulfilling that.
Mm.
Was it Brentford? They didn't play.
Yeah, or it was after someone game, didn't wasn't play. It? I can't remember. But
Tyson's Tash says, "What was going on with the Utrecht fans in Meppen? Were they just rowdy or a bit more volatile?"
This was a bit weird. We were saying on our drive in the morning how ridiculous it was that there was loads of riot police everywhere, fully kitted up with the batons and the shields and the vans and everything, saying this is a pre-season friendly, everyone's here. You know, Ipswich and Fortuna fans are best mates, they put them all in the same section, everyone was having a great time. And then it got to the last game, the final, and I think there was a bit of playful chants and banter coming from the sort of Ipswich Fortuna section towards Utrecht, who are obviously in the final, and the Utrecht fans didn't take it too kindly. Apparently there's a bit of a reputation there. A few things were chucked over the metal fencing, the riot police got involved. I think there might have been some tear gas,
pepper spray apparently as well.
I'm not sure they'll be getting an invite back for next year based on how that day ended.
Always won.
But they did win it. Mm. So
you
have to bring the champions back.
Mm.
Or not.
This is very important news. We have tweets from Little Melon Man.
Little Melon Man.
Tiny Little Melon Man.
With his little melon hands.
He says, "Morning chaps, you asked me to share a little about myself." I did indeed, a couple of podcasts ago. "I use the Little Melon Man pseudonym because I run a charity and like to keep private and official stuff separate. I can be a proper middle-aged grown-up at work and relax on Twitter without public embarrassment." He goes on to say, "The name is courtesy of my big brother's school nickname. He was Melon because he had a perfectly round head. And so I became Little Melon. This involved to Melon Man when the Sunday morning football boys heard the Happy Monday singing about twisting my Melon Man." So that's where it come from, Little Melon Man. He also asks, "What did you do to keep sane and pass the time when you were covering one of those really, really, really dull Mick McCarthy matches?" Mm. "I caught up on a lot of emails and researched winter golf shoes, amongst other things."
There were a lot of times that Andy and I would have lengthy conversations about absolute nonsense where we realised that we weren't paying a huge amount of attention to the game.
But then we also realised there was not, we hadn't missed anything, so it was fine. I know we said we weren't doing any songs, but I feel that now we've got...
You said we weren't doing any songs, and you're in charge,
apparently. Well, I am in charge of that, in a way, and now that we know his backstory, I think it's
time. Oh, no, you're not. You're not going to go there. Come on.
Why not?
You're going to do a Little Melon Man jingle?
I think the Little Melon Man is a friend of the show.
Yeah, this is where I knew he was going to go.
Oh, no. Really?
Friend of the show.
Number
eight.
Tiny Little Melon Man.
Little Melon Man.
Welcome to the crew.
We should probably explain that... So we're a little bit intrigued by Little Melon Man because I believe he sent us quite a few questions in the early days.
He did, yeah.
And then...
Vanished.
And then vanished for a little while, but... The first time he ever got in contact, Little Melon Man became a little bit of a thing, and it's remained a thing, so that if we're... It's a something that Andy and I just say to each other. I don't even know what the context would be, but we just
occasionally it breaks the tension in the office, doesn't it? If we're kind of having one of those days, someone will just say, Little Melon Man.
Yeah, so I'm really pleased you're back.
Yeah. So he's now an official friend of the show, and you must go and follow him, Kings of Anglia Army, at melon_little on Twitter, because he's one of us. Lewis Robertson, we heard our town was scouting for talent in Europe prior to the end of the season. There's been little in way of links or movement. Surely with Lambert's connections, which he was very keen to stress, I'm told.
He loves Germany and all things Germany.
Yeah. We should be capitalising on this area. Any ideas as to why we haven't or any links to anyone in that respect? No.
I think that's why he's wearing the entire club shop at the moment, because I think that's what German football managers do, and therefore Paul Lambert thinks that's a good thing to do.
Can we float the idea about reading the teams out and how that would the goal scorers, how that would go down?
He was quite enamoured with something that they did at Paderborn, which is apparently quite prevalent in German football. So you see this in England sometimes, don't you, where they go and the goal scorer is James and the
Norwood.
And the crowd replies. But they take it a step further in Germany, don't they?
So
James Norwood, I'm just trying to think how this goes. And then the crowd say, Danke, thank you. And then the PA announcer replies, bitter, which is please, but you're welcome in that context. And then I think there was even one after that, but it's a very sort of ultra polite exchange between the PA announcer and the crowd as a whole. And that was part of our dinner table chat on the Friday, that Paul Lambert was quite into that. I fear that it wouldn't translate to English culture.
I think the James Norwood might, but you're not going to get people saying that. Thank you. You're welcome.
I think we have time for one more question. Alistair Rattray, he's going to be very disappointed because he asked about Judge, obviously we've already talked about this. He says, friend of the show request, must be a duet after last week's heroics. Alistair, Hutchie, the Jingle Master, has determined there are no jingles this week.
Sometimes you've got to leave the people wanting more.
Is that what it is? Okay.
We haven't got time. We've recorded this podcast twice.
Ross, are we okay?
Yes.
Good. It is still recording. Brilliant. Final question of mailbag, and I'm very sorry if we haven't got to yours because we ran out of time for reasons of Ross not pressing record.
I did.
So he claims. Peck and Blue, in your honest opinions, do you think the squad is good enough, can achieve the right mentality to go on a winning run this season and make the playoffs, or I assume get promoted?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
Excellent. Here endeth mailbag.
Doesn't mean they're going to win their first five games and be top of the league, but yeah, I do think they are good enough.
So you heard it here first. The boys both guarantee promotion next season. Tremendous. That's mailbag then. I'm very sorry, as I say, if we haven't managed to get to your questions. There's loads more we're not going to have time for, but obviously we appreciate all of you getting in touch, and please do continue to, because normally we'll get to them. Boys, this weekend, Friday night.
Friday night football.
Hutchie, you're at the Friday night Community Lights. Stadium. Someone who won't be there, in fact, two people who won't be there with you.
Three people.
Obviously, I'm not normally at games because I'm too big and important to do stuff like that. Stewie Watson, you're off on a stag do with the lads.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Prague.
Of course you are. Right on it. And Roscoe, you're going to Latitude.
Yes.
To unplug and plug things in there? Or just to watch the music?
Bit of both.
Who are you most looking forward to seeing?
Are you doing some plugging in at...
No, I won't be. I'll be taking pictures and just chilling,
having a good time. So, Hutchie, you're flying solo. What are you hoping to see at the U's? Luke Garbutt?
Yep. Yeah, want to see Luke Garbutt. Want to see James Norwood play for more than 45. I'm just looking forward to seeing who is given more game time and what those partnerships are.
That's always the interesting part of pre-season when they start giving people an hour.
Yeah, you start to learn a little bit more now.
Stu, what are you most looking forward to about your stag?
Not thinking about Ipswich Town for a few hours, that'll be nice.
And the beer?
Yeah, one or two.
Get on the beers. Are you taking your trainers?
We're going on a boat trip. No, the trainers won't be coming on this.
Is it a booze cruise?
There'll be some
a party boats
and entertainment. Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah,
good, cultured stuff.
Yep.
Boys, that brings us to the end of this podcast. It's a short podcast today. I'm sorry. Those 20 minutes will forever be consigned to podcast history, like the Doctor Who Lost episodes, because they were absolute gold.
They were too good.
That's what Ross decided. He pulled the plug. This is too good for people to hear, he said.
Definitely, yeah.
So, my usual outro, just please make sure you subscribe via your usual podcast provider. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. We've got a few more of them in this week, which is tremendous. Helps with our visibility. And follow us on all the social medias, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. What's the other one? Facebook. Oh, yeah, the biggest
Definitely
one.
Follow us on YouTube.
Definitely follow us
if
on YouTube.
If you're going to do one thing today, give blood or follow us on YouTube.
Do both. Why not? Make it a real good day. Kings of Anger on all of those. Boys, any other business before we head off?
Arch and do other podcasts and that. Yeah. Ross again forgot to play in the official thing. So
I put it on your memory stick. Didn't I?
That's in the office. I've been in the office since.
How are we going to get this podcast from here to the office?
Google Drive.
Google Drive. Big up Google Drive.
Yeah. Obvious.
No other business.
Excellent. Thanks again for IO Radio for having us. Thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you again next week.